Well, good morning and welcome once again, or maybe for the first time, to Brookside Baptist Church, located in Muswellbrook, New South Wales. It is great to be with you, and it's great that you have been able to join with us, be it in person, online, or through a written transcript. We wanted to say to whoever you are and wherever you might find yourself this morning, thank you for taking time to think about God, our relationship with Him, and about the world we live in. Last week, we finished a series on the book of Galatians. In Galatians, this idea came out that we are made right before God, that we are justified through faith, that we have faith in the work of Christ and we don't need to add anything to that. Now, this is going to lead us to another important theme that we're going to explore with you today. But before that, I want to tell you about a show my lovely wife Barbara and I have been watching over the past few months. This show is called This Is Us. In This Is Us, the series follows the lives of siblings Kate, Kevin, and Randall. They're known as the Big Three, and their parents Jack and Rebecca Pearson. It takes place mainly in present time and uses flashbacks to show the family's past and to flesh out the story. Now, if you know me, you know I love a well-told story. And this show, I have to say, is most certainly well told. It uses time, character, and plots nearly perfectly to keep you engaged and hooked in. One of the important themes of This Is Us is adoption. See, Kevin and Kate are two children of triplets. Sadly, the third was stillborn. Now, reeling from the loss of their third child at birth, Jack and Rebecca adopt Randall, who was anonymously left on a fire station doorstep and had been taken to the hospital where Rebecca had just given birth. This family adopts Randall. I love Randall's character. While he wrestles with his identity within his family, he never questions the love that his parents, Jack and Rebecca, have for him. It seems like he is proud to be a Pearson. Adoption hits close to home for me. See, my father was adopted. Last year, I went to my grandmother's funeral as she had recently passed away. I saw my dad mourn the death of the woman he called Mum. And he mourned and remembered just as much as his adopted brother and sister did. I watched as he, my uncle, and my auntie gave their eulogies, how all three of them spoke of their love for their mother. I listened as Dad referred to his brother and sisters. I was reminded once again that my dad was part of this family. He was adopted into it. He is a Spicer, just like Randall is part of the Pearson's family. The only difference is one happened on TV, the other in real life. John 1:12 says this, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." In our passage today from Ephesians, verse 5, chapter 1, it puts it like this. He has destined us for adoption to sonship through Christ Jesus, in accordance with his pleasure in will. In these verses, we find so much value for us, as it describes the status of all Christians, both men and women. And as such, we enjoy the privileges, obligation, and inheritance rights of God's children. And today, I want you to know some of those benefits and some of the privileges that we can enjoy because we have been adopted into God's family. Adoption is an important theme that we will be exploring. This adoption comes because of Christ's death and resurrection. And it's important to know that we're not just made right before God, we're not just put at this zero position, but we're also brought into his family. It's interesting, the theme of adoption. One commentator talked about four important examples of adoption that we find in the Bible. And he also talks about, with these other examples in the Bible, it is really important and joins in with other ideas. He uses a few examples, like Moses, the story of Moses. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 10, we are told that Moses was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. Now, imagine this adoption. It's about being brought into a royalty. It's about being brought into a place and into a class better than he deserved, than we deserve. Another example he uses is found in Esther. In Esther, we're told that she was adopted by her cousin Mordecai. And here the adoption is about being adopted into a larger group of people who share a common bond. The commentator's favorite example was found in Matthew, where we're told about Joseph, who adopted Jesus himself and raised him as if he was his own child. And we have a picture of adoption as being part of Christ's own story. The writer goes on to talk about another important adoption, and that is ours. If you have faith in Jesus as your Savior, you have been adopted into the family of God. In a moment, we'll talk about why the importance of the adoption into God's family. And we might cover as well what we gain as a result. But I want you to notice this before we set out any further. Our adoption, it brings us into a larger group of people like Esther. And not only that, like Moses, it puts us in a spot of privilege and royalty, nobility. Before we go any further, I want you to understand something. And that is how the Bible, and the time the Bible was written, how was the concept of adoption understood? Generally today, adoption involves a couple who desire to expand their family in a non-biological way. This often consists of the adoption of an infant or young child. One writer noted that the motivation that this couple has is to nurture and care for another person, and it's often one who is in need. Little concern exists about who the child is. The future parents simply want to have a child to love and care for like their own. And the focus remains on the interest of the child. But this modern notion of adoption would have proven foreign to the original readers of Ephesians, the place where we get our passage from today. Although similarities exist between the adoption practices that the Ephesian readers would have known and today's practice, but modern adoption would have puzzled the ancients. In order to help us understand Ephesians 1 verse 5 and other passages where adoption is talked about, Galatians and Romans, it's worth attempting to understand first century Roman adoption. And to do that, we need to consider the purpose. What relevant difference exists between the ancient form of adoption and today's form? And what observations impact our understanding of today's passage and our relationship with God? See, the purpose of Roman adoption didn't involve nurturing a child per se. Rather, adoption was about providing an heir someone to assume the privileges, duty, and responsibilities. And it was framed in the context of a son, the one who would carry the family line forward. In fact, this idea of someone to assume the privileges, duties, and responsibility of a son was so critical that the Greek word for son, pronounced ios, is part of the Greek word which Paul uses for adoption, pronounced iothesia. These duties usually included accessing inheritance, caring for aging parents, and assuring a proper burial. And it's interesting that this ancient form of adoption benefited the adopters more than the adoptees, but it placed the adoptees into a position of ownership and leadership. It's most likely that the adoptee didn't come from an unstable home life, as we see in our concept of adoption today. What we find, rather, is that back then, to adopt someone, it would most likely be an adult male which you were already familiar with. You were aware of their character. You know what they were like, how they handled themselves. I mean, if you're going to trust someone to care for you in your old age and to give you the proper funeral rites, you would need to choose carefully. Another writer expressed that this ancient perspective points to more personal nature of adoption. Today's modern practice of adoption is at one level very personal. Adopted parents want a child to be part of their family. However, God's adoption takes the personal nature of adoption much further than today's notion. It takes it and looks at us and says specifically, He has chosen us because He knows us. And it's not that God didn't want children. Rather, God specifically wanted people in His family. Words can't describe this amazing reality. He knew us. He chose us and provided for us to be part of the greatest family that ever existed in creation. But let's also take a moment for this ancient model and reason for adoption, because it has a pretty big theological statement. As we said, in ancient Roman times, people were adopted based on their past experience with the person, their proven character, and or the potential that they shown. One writer suggests that this could be a bit of a theological downside, for it suggests that some sort of personal merit or accomplished work is involved in God's choice. Now, we know from Galatians that this doesn't harmonize well, and most especially with Paul's theology. It doesn't even mesh well with the book of Ephesians. Rather, I think we should look at this in one of two ways. The first way is that God chose us despite our past records. When we come to have faith in Christ, God chooses us. Or maybe, too, because we have faith in Jesus, our past has been removed and we are anew in God's sight. Either way, it's important to once again, look at the idea that we found in Galatians. Salvation comes from faith alone. And see that neither merit nor works fits into the allegory of today's passage. Listen, children, to verse 5 again. He destined us for adoption as His children. It's possible that once the reader got over the wonderful shock of their adoption, they might start to wonder whether somehow they did something to earn it. And that's understandable. past actions would be associated with adoption practices, which they were familiar with. However, it's interesting that Paul does not allow that thought to even take root. Look at the very next phrase, through Jesus Christ. What he's pointing out is Christ and his work that has nullified any potential merit that a person might feel has presented itself. And it clearly places the means for adoption on Jesus himself, not us. If we take this idea of adoption and look at the idea that we now assume the privileges, duty, and responsibility of a son, regardless of our past, it has huge ramifications. And here are but a few. We get the great privilege as being adopted by God that we can talk and relate to him as a good and loving father. We don't need to live in fear of him. And this is something which we may take for granted. Our God, our Heavenly Father, loves us deeply. Psalm 103, verse 13. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Matthew 6:32. As his children, he promised to take care of our needs. Not only that, he forgives our wrongdoings. John 1:2, verse 12. I'm writing you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on the account of his name, on Jesus' name. But not only can we relate to him as a loving father, he gives us many good gifts. And especially, and the prime example is the Spirit of God. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Luke 11:13. As a loving father, he promised us a great inheritance. So not only does he love us, not only does he care, give us good gifts, but he's also provided our inheritance. Galatians 4:7, so you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if you are a son, you are an heir through God. And that is all before we get to the main benefits of an inheritance that is waiting for us in the future. This inheritance, this future inheritance, includes a new heaven and an earth, a glorified, resurrected body, and residence in his coming kingdom. We have another benefit of this adoption, and that is that we carry a piece of God with us because of the saving work of Christ. We enjoy the new life with the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness within our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs to God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we might also be glorified with him. That quote comes from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 14 to 17. See, as children, the Spirit of God testifies to us that we belong to him. And we belong to him in an incredibly unique way. And it's just like Randall in This Is Us. Randall carries the lesson that he has learned growing up in the Pearsons' home. Just like the stories my dad told as part of his eulogy, showing and talking about the piece of him that came from his family. And just like any other child, we need to know that we will face trials and tests in this life. And that can prove a sonship as well. It also requires us to respond with perseverance. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciples the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 6. But here's the whole point of adoption. And you see it really well in This Is Us and through my dad's stories. The whole point of adoption is that we imitate our parents' character, that we imitate the character, the God's holiness in our lives. Later on in Ephesians, we were told to therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. And do all of this without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Philippians chapter 2. My friends, you and I need to understand this. We are not just made right before God by what Jesus has done on that cross. But faith in Jesus means that we are part of his family. One more thing before we go. A lot of the time, the Bible uses this term, son, when referring to our adoption. I want you to know that this is not about gender, but rather it's more about title. The term of son has a very specific role in ancient Roman times. Let me give you an example of something similar. Did you know that right now you can become a lord or a lady? You can become a noble, if you will. Now, usually what would need to happen is you would need to be born into nobility. Or maybe if you got lucky and you could marry someone who is noble. You can become a lord or a lady right now, and you don't have to wait until the queen recognizes you as such by appointing you to the House of Lords. But rather, in Scotland, the Highland Titles Nature Reserve offers the acknowledgement of nobility. And it did this as a fundraiser to create a nature reserve in Scotland. But if you get to this land and get this title, it is like you are a lord. You can hand the title down to future generations. Like a lord, you get to have a vote on the issues of the land. Like a lord, you can camp and rule over your plot. Not only that, this fundraiser, you can purchase a title of lord, a title of nobility, and it's regardless of what country you were born in. By buying this title, you become part of the Scottish or British nobility. But the point is this, you or someone who knows you can buy this title. My point is this. Jesus has purchased this title. He has purchased for you your freedom from sin and the law. And he's purchased for you a title of nobility. Back then, this title was expressed as son. Today, it means so much more. It means regardless of whether you're male or female, regardless of the color of your skin, regardless of your past or what country you've been born in Christ, you have been given a legal title, sons of God. My friends, we are sons of God because we are his children through faith in Christ. Amen. Well, bless you guys. I hope you have a great week. Until next time, or I see you again. God bless.